When Brother Mark told me yesterday that I was going to speak this morning, I was, what in the world am I going to talk about? But Brother Wayne Lohman shared something about how churches have become comfortable, content with where they are. They are okay with not growing. They just want to be what they've always known. They don't want to change. And that really had me thinking on the way home, and God brought this short message to me last night as I was driving home. I was thinking about some of the things that Christians face in the world we live in today. And these things can cause a Christian, cause a church to be too comfortable, to be content with what they already have. Number one is doubt. We as Christians have all faced doubt. We have all experienced negativity. It might be self-doubt, it might be doubt from other people, but we have all experienced doubt and negativity. And when I think of doubt, I think of Moses. You know, it always amazes me when I read the Old Testament just how much the Israelites doubted God. I mean, they doubted Him constantly. These are the people who witnessed God firsthand. They were there when God turned the river into blood. They were there when God brought the plagues on Egypt. They were there when the angel of death passed them over. They were at the edge of the Red Sea when God parted the waters. They were there to see the glory of God descend on the tabernacle, and yet they still doubted Him. But Moses, he never lost his faith. You know, this goes back to when God first came to Moses in the burning bush. See, Moses was doubting, how am I going to be the man who leads the people out of Egypt? And God made him a promise. He said, I will be with you. Moses never forgot that. And God never went back on His promise. Once God says something, you can write it down because it's going to happen. He doesn't go back on His word. The second thing a Christian might face is fear. You know, you can turn on the news today and see nothing but violence. You can see that the world is trying to produce fear in the hearts of people. You know, the news doesn't report on anything happy anymore, because in this world today, this world that the devil is so prevalent in, violence, sex, that's what sells. It's not the good news. It's the devil's news that sells. A Christian has to be courageous. When I think of courage, I think of David. You know, Goliath had the entire armies of Israel quaking in fear. But that little shepherd boy, he didn't see a giant. He saw somebody mocking the armies of the living God, and he did something about it. 1 Samuel 17:44 through 46, I love these verses. It said, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I love that. That just gets my heart racing, gets me pumped up for God. But God never goes back on His word. When He says He's going to be with us through everything, He's going to be with us. You know, Jesus promised us that same thing in Matthew 28:20. It says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. We have nothing to fear. Number three, the third thing we face as a Christian is persecution. You know, living in the United States, we have a lot more religious freedom than they do around the world. But that doesn't mean we're not persecuted here. We have people who are losing their jobs because they stand up for things they believe in. You know, Christians are mocked. We're laughed at. We say that we believe this magical hocus pocus. But you know what? That means we're doing something right. Because in John 15, verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I take pride that the world has a problem with what I'm preaching today. It means I'm doing God's work. When I think about persecution, I think about Daniel. Daniel is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. It's a man we should all strive to be like. You see, Daniel was arrested for praying. Daniel loved God so much that he broke the law to pray. You know, I wonder if praying and worshiping God was legal today, would the juries have enough evidence to convict a lot of Christians? Are we praying the way we're supposed to be praying? It says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And that's what Daniel did. And we all know the outcome of that story. God shut the lion's mouth and saved Daniel. But we should all strive to be like each of these men. And there are some people in the world who would ask, well, where is that God? Where is the God of Moses? Where is the God of David and Daniel? He's still here. He hasn't left. He doesn't change. He's the same God today that he was then. And if we're blessed with a tomorrow, he'll be the same God then too. He does not change. But that's not what the world wants us to think. They want us to think that God's dead. This world does not want us to worship God. And if we do, it tells us to put God in the little box and only open that box up on Sundays. Once you're finished with him, put him back up and go throughout the rest of your life, the rest of your week. Do you is what the world says. You do you and keep God over here. But I'm here to tell you, you cannot put God in a box. God is either going to be Lord of all of your life or none of it. And going back to Christians being content with the way things are, this might be a strange statement, but Satan is okay with us being comfortable in church. Because as long as a Christian is sitting in the pew, they're not out sharing the Word of God. As long as the pews in the church are full and that Word is never carried out into the public, the kingdom of God's not growing like it's supposed to be. Satan's okay with that. He'll allow you to have comfort in church if it means that we're not growing God's kingdom. There are 7.4 billion people in the world. And let's just say we live in a perfect world where everybody who claims to be a Christian is actually a Christian. There is an estimated number of 2.2 billion Christians. That means if God came back today, 5.2 billion people would go to hell, just like that. It's estimated that 151,600 people die each day. How many of them do you think knew Jesus? You know, there's a saying, it's actually an atheist saying that says, if hell was a real place, a Christian should be willing to walk across streets of broken glass barefooted to keep people from going there. It breaks my heart knowing that all those people die without knowing God. As a pastor, as a Christian, it hits me hard knowing that these people are dying every day not hearing the Word of God, as it should do to all of us. You know, in John 21:17, when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Of course I love you." Jesus gives Peter a command, gives us all a command, "Then feed my sheep." We're supposed to feed his sheep, not lead them to the butcher. We're supposed to nourish his flock, not lead them astray. And I know I'm speaking to a room full of pastors. You all know this. But this is a prayer we need to have for our churches. We need to pray that God will light a fire in the churches across this country, in the hearts of the churches across this country. We need to pray that God will light a fire in this conference. You know, we have so many small churches that are just existing. God can change that. We need to pray, each of us, pray for a revival of God's Word, of God's flock. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your amazing grace. I thank you so much for the love you have for us. I thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus to die for us. I thank you so much for the blessings you bestow on us every single day. Dear Lord, I pray that you will light a fire in our hearts and keep it burning bright until the end of days. Lord, I pray that you just be with the pastors. Help them to give your word to the flock. Dear Lord, I pray that you just bless our churches. Bless your church. I pray that you would just light a fire in all of our hearts, dear Lord. I pray that you just send us a great revival, dear Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen.